Hi there, Maurice Termel here, your host for Rock My Soul Radio, helping you connect with your source. Tonight's topics will include religious abuse. Second topic is, why am I here? One of our main questions, who am I, why am I here? In the form of a story called The Traveler. And the third one will be dealing with feelings, particularly feelings of loss. And that'll be in the form of an allegorical story called A Very Little Lamb. And to get us all in the mood, we're going to play some music now. A piece of mine that I recorded 6 years ago. It's called Let It Begin. So please cue that up, gentlemen, and let her play. Accomplished artist and musician up here in Canada. As I mentioned earlier, we're going to talk about a few topics here tonight, and I want to let you know from the beginning that the phones are open, and I'll give you the number, and for those of you who are looking at the website, you'll see it there. But the phone number to call in to ask questions or make comments is 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. And the first person to call me tonight is going to get a free digital download from my website. And we'll sort that out after we receive that call. You might want to wait till we've gone through some of our topics here and to make your comments, but that's a promise. The first person to call in will get a free digital download of their choice from my store. Now, I mentioned that the first topic is on religion or religious abuse. And the way I want to talk about it is not to condemn any particular religion, but there's methodologies that are involved in the application of religion and the teaching of religion that, as a psychologist, I found to be very harmful to people. As I sorted through my own life and I sorted through the influences that affected me, I came to realize that that was a very big factor in my own life. So I'll talk a bit about that. But first I'm going to read something to you. It comes from my source. It's going to be in my next edition of Parables for a Modern Age. And the piece is called Man's Folly, Religious Abuse. In the name of the Father, how can it be? You lied and cheated, deceived me, I see. No more holdouts, no more old scores. Time to return me to my amour. The one true love that resides within is not without worry, but certainly without sin. The abuse of the Father is no folly indeed. It happened to many and disrupted his creed. His words were spoken in the hearts of the all, lost and forsaken, left in the hall. There taken up by those who knew better, thought they'd address that unopened letter. Concealed though it was to be opened by you, thought they would open it and give it a chew. And chew they did, and badly so as well. Hell and damnation had cast their spell. Long after the heartbreak, the evil and rhyme, the words of the Lord were turned into slime. Now they are retrievable through your own heart. Look in there now, you'll find your part. No longer distorted by those in the know, because you open your own mail and start your own show. Let it be said that God always knew better. He'd let you find your very own letter. He'd let you know if you'd had enough. Because his heart is yours, and yours is so tough. Tougher than lies, oh, that's for certain. Look there inside, just behind that curtain. The veil they created with their stories and untruths. The nonsense they taught and said it was about you. You know the truth. God said it there. He said, look, dear, don't you be scared. I placed those words inside your heart. I knew you would find your very own part. I'm glad you took over and set it all straight. No use pretending, I just couldn't wait. Glad you could find your way to center again. Because heaven is there, dear. Time for you to enter. And I love you, I do. Your Lord. That's the kind of material that comes to me through my source. A lot of the stuff that I get is from the perspective of God speaking to us. So, before anybody starts accusing me of thinking that I'm God, which I am as much as you are, this is how the material arrives. So I write it down, I polish it, but this is how it arrives. What I learned as a psychologist is that religious practices, most certainly in the way I grew up, which was in the Catholic tradition, the practices
and not the philosophy, but the practices as they were disseminated and taught and applied, basically taught people to repress. You're not supposed to have evil thoughts. You're supposed to squash feelings if they don't fit into the status quo. If they're sexually oriented, for sure, we heard a lot about that when we were teenagers. And as I worked as a therapist, I came to realize that a lot of repression that people had applied to themselves, repression is one of the major forms of defense mechanisms, was as a result of the shaming they received around their religion as it was being applied to normal things like relationships and desires and, you know, the pursuit of wealth and happiness and that kind of thing. And so it became another part of the armor that people got encrusted in. And the sad thing about it is it becomes, in that form, a psychological category, not any different than all the things we now know about dysfunctional family environments. The things that came through the religious sources were the same in the sense that people were being taught to ignore certain things, most certainly not to trust their own feelings. And so you were taught to always be monitoring yourself and correcting yourself and trying to silence different parts of you. When in fact, the definition of health is free expression from within. Now this little piece I read to you is a message to me and to anyone who hears this from my source that this was wrong. There's a phrase there where it says, these messages, they're to be taken up by those who knew better. Well, of course, you know, in most religions there are these people who think they know better. Maybe they do, maybe they don't. From a psychological point of view, anything that teaches you to repress is unhealthy. And it doesn't matter if it comes from religion or if it comes from your dysfunctional family environment. Anything that shames you is unhealthy. Psychologically unhealthy. And so when you shut down access to your emotions, remember we talk about this on this show, you can't get to your source without going through your emotions. Anything that cuts us off from that is detrimental to our spiritual health. That's just a fact. That's what psychology has been showing us. Now, fundamentalists are going to want to chop me to pieces over stuff like this, and that's fine. They're living their life as a prescription. They're living from some book, and they're not listening to their own heart. Now, God gave us this heart, this feeling center, so that we would have direct access to Him or her, to that energy, and know what it is to do our part in this world. He didn't install that so that other people who thought they would know better could shame us into shutting it all down. That's just wrong, plain and simple. So there's a big problem with how certain religions have applied their teachings. And this business about just having faith, that's not enough. That's not enough. Anything you want to hook onto that's outside of yourself is a risk for you. If it comes from your own heart center and it matches up with that particular book or whatever the religious messages are, then, you know, bingo, that's a winner. But if it doesn't, and you have to sacrifice your own feelings in order to stay true to the religion, then you've lost yourself. And that's what a lost self is. It's buried underneath all that rubble, all that shame, all that doubt, because you're supposed to trust a book more than you're supposed to trust yourself. Now, if the book has truth in it, what you're going to reach and discover for yourself is going to match. The two are going to come together. If it doesn't, then What are you going to trust? This is where you have to make a choice. And this is the choice that artists and authors and writers and people that we quote and rely upon for our history and literature and beautiful poetry, they learned to trust their source. They connected with their source. They would abandon their mainstream practices if they were an academic or some other type of professional so that they could trust their source. They were ready to bet it all on their own source. Hermann Hesse is a great example of a person who abandoned all academic pursuits and stored himself in his grandfather's library for a few years, read everything there was about what was available about growth and development and human nature and the human, you know, the plight of the human being and why we're here, and then started writing his books, which were really perceptive and accurate and chilling. But he, to get there, he had to trust his source. So that's the point of this little message here on man's folly, religious abuse. The pieces I'm going to read to you this evening, and I'm going to read one now, it's called The Traveler. These are designed to emphasize this point. Now, somewhere down the road I'll say more about religion, but I don't want to turn this into an attack on religion. I don't know any particular religion now in any depth so that I could take them on academically. But what I do know is from my practice experience and my own life experience that many of the things that are taught result in repression, and repression is damaging to your feeling nature, and your feeling nature is your access to the spiritual. So it absolutely contradicts what religion claims it's supposed to be doing. And here's another interesting point. As long as the so-called authority and knowledge is kept within the confines of so-called experts, then you're just supposed to rely on those experts and not think or feel for yourself. If a good religion would prepare you to connect with your source, and once you were connected with your source, you wouldn't need to practice the religion anymore. It should be like a map to get you from A to B instead of taking you away from it and making you some kind of psychological cripple who has to rely on their interpretation of things rather than learning to trust your own feelings. Learning to trust your own feelings is where it's at. That's how you're going to get to your source. And the kind of people I'm going to bring to the show are people who have learned to do that. In one fashion or another, whether they went through therapy or they had major awakenings or crisis points in their life, they're all at that point where they trust their source. And what they get from their source is gold. It's pure gold. And that's what you can have from your source. Let me read this piece to you. It's from one of my older books called Parables for Modern Times, and the story is called The Traveler. There once was a man who came to Earth because he wanted to learn some important lessons. He had traveled far and wide throughout his time, experiencing many different forms of existence. He had traveled as a spirit in other planes, spheres, and galaxies. He had spent some time as a guardian of comets and planets and various constellations of stars. Our young man was tired of these challenges and now wanted to experience something different. So he asked the Creator if he could come to Earth and try this experience for a time, and his wish was granted. Upon his arrival on the Earth plane, our young man discovered many important facts about himself. The first thing he realized was that now he had a body, a dense body composed of the same matter that supported all life on Earth. He also discovered that he had a heart, which was designed to guide him forth on his earthly adventure. In his other planes of experience, he never had such an instrument, and therefore had to rely on other faculties to guide him along. This heart was a curious instrument which he set about to understand. It was not at all like the heart that beat in his chest, but rather was more of a feeling nature that advised him of his every circumstance and his experience within it. He could experience pain as never before. He could experience joy that made him soar. He could experience ecstasy and disappointment all in the same moment. A truly amazing instrument this heart nature was. With his heart as his guide, our young man set forth on his journey through Earth life. He knew he was here to accomplish something important, but that this would only be revealed as he went along his path. Part of the journey, he realized, was discovery, that there was to be an element of surprise in all his experiences so that their impact would be maximized. As he proceeded on his journey, he encountered other individuals with similar bodies to his, and he looked for who they were in their hearts. With some, he could see a faint glimmer, but with many more, he could barely see anything at all. This was truly puzzling, for he envisioned himself as like all the creatures around him, and fully expected to see in them what he now recognized in himself. His confusion became so great that our young man called upon the Creator to help him understand these bewildering circumstances, and the Creator came to speak with him in his heart. My son, you have come to planet Earth to learn many things. With your heart as your guide, you can clearly hear my voice and proceed without difficulty on your journey. With such an open capacity to receive, you fully expected to meet others like yourself. But what you have found are many individuals closed off from their source, which is me. But Lord, why is this so? Why are we not all alike? He asked with some alarm in his voice. But you are, my son, all very much alike. What you have encountered here are individuals who have become closed off from their inner self. And so they appear lost to you, as you cannot clearly see the spark from their heart, which you would then recognize as very much like your own. But what am I to do, Lord? What am I to say? I cannot be here if I am to feel so alone. That pain is unbearable to me. I know, the Creator replied. I did not send you here to be lonely. I wish for you to rejoice in this experience called life. We must do something to remedy this situation. I will consult with my angels and return to you shortly with an answer. While waiting to hear again from the Creator, our young man continued his journey and came upon a beautiful woman with a heart all aglow. How wonderful, he said to himself. Someone to whom I can relate and perhaps share this experience. Greetings, my lady. Would you please help me? I am here on a journey of discovery and growth, and I am uncertain as to how to proceed. Can you offer me any suggestions? Well, the lady said, I can certainly try. First, you must determine why you are here. Is it your task to simply wander about and experience the earth as it appears to you? Or is it perhaps your task to influence life here in some positive or growth-fulfilling fashion? I am sorry, I do not know what you mean, he replied. I arrived here with my heart open and fully expected to meet others like myself. It had been my task in the past to merely look after the environment to which I was assigned. I assumed that this might be the task once more. Very well, replied the woman. I believe I can see your dilemma. In the past, you were used to caretaking and maintaining, but not influencing in order to promote positive-oriented growth. What do you mean? He asked again. Well, in caretaking, one task is to simply maintain the situation as it is. Perhaps to influence on occasion to a slight degree, but essentially just to maintain. On planet Earth, we are all involved in a growth experiment, and that requires some effort on our part. On our part, he repeated. Yes, she went on all our parts. There are many like myself who have their hearts fully opened and our task is to help those whose hearts have not yet opened. You mean those individuals whom I saw earlier with barely a glimmer had hearts that were simply closed? That is correct, she replied. It is these individuals whom we are here to help. I see then, he repeated. So that would be my task too, I presume, since I have come here with my heart fully open. Likely so, she replied, although the Creator could tell you for certain. Just then the Creator returned and addressed our young man from within his heart. I see you have already found your answer. Yes, Lord, I believe I have. I am here to influence this life in the most positive way that I can and help those individuals whose hearts are closed. I will go forth now and complete this task as I believe I have been assigned to do. Thank you for returning to me with an answer so quickly. Oh, and how did I do that? The Creator asked. By sending me that beautiful angel in the form of a woman to explain to me my purpose and to show it by her example. I see you are learning quickly, my son. I hope all your future questions can be answered so easily. I will return to you again at another time. And our young man proceeded on his journey, helping light the light of those in the darkness and spreading good humor and openness wherever he went. And from that time on, with the Creator at his side and in his heart, a new sense of purpose in view and his heart fully opened, he knew that all would be well in his world. That's a story about passion and purpose. I use those metaphorical stories just to cast a lesson in a fictional scenario so that the point is made. The point about passion, purpose, opening to our source, connecting with source. It's the most powerful and amazing thing that we can do. And when people like Joseph Campbell tell us to follow our bliss, this is what he's talking about. When artists are imploring us to listen to that still, small voice inside, that's what they're pointing to, our own connection with Source. Now back to the earlier piece. If we're blocked, if we're ashamed, if we're repressed, how are we going to access our Source? How are we going to connect with our own bliss, find out what that passion is, or remove the rubble or the debris around it that's clouding it? How are we going to do that? There's too many people that are relying on others to tell them what to do. There's too many people relying on books to tell them what to do. Good books should be like a good map. They are a guide to certain experiences. But do not mistake the map for the territory. It's a vastly different experience when you're driving down the highway looking at the world around you than when you're looking at it on a map and it's just some kind of red line. So, good books, good information is guidance. And if it's meaningful to you, it will resonate with you. It will click with you. It will mean something to you. And if it hits you there, that's the place you've got to be. That's the place you need to pay attention to. That's the part of you that wants you to notice it so that it can start feeding you the real good stuff that you're here to deliver. Okay. I'm all fired up. Don't get me started. Now, is there anybody out there with a question? Is there anybody who's going to take me up on my offer? I'll just keep talking. I don't mind. But I would certainly like to hear from you. I would certainly like to know how you feel about what I'm talking about. I would certainly like to know about your experiences in trying to connect or successfully connecting with Source. I am interested in all perspectives. So, the phone lines are open. Anytime you're ready, give us a call. And, you know, maybe just to give you a little bit of time to think about that, I'm going to ask my engineer friends at BBS to play our next song, which is called Twilight Time. It's a lovely, mystical, bluesy tune that has kind of a quirky message in it, but I think the message is clear once you've heard it. So if you will, gentlemen, please play Twilight Time. Got it to sound like that. again, that kind of music and those influences, the words, that comes from my source. This is the kind of stuff that my source is giving to me. About 15 years ago, I was in a spiritualist church. And one of the things they do in a spiritualist church is at the opening, if you've ever attended one, they will have messages. So they have, the spiritualist church is going to be full of psychics and people with all kinds of talent. And so one of the earliest times, maybe the second or third time I was there, the speaker, the psychic, came to me, like they'd just be walking up and down the aisle, and she came to me, and she just tuned into her space and told me a few things about myself. I'd never met her, she'd never met me, and somewhere she said she was receiving information from my maternal grandfather. Okay. So anyways, what came through was that back then we used phrases like channeling, and some people still use those phrases, but those were the words then. I just call it being connected now. So she said, that, passed on the message to me, that I would be doing that. And I couldn't imagine that. I could barely make sense of a tarot card deck. But that stuck, and as a few years went by, and things did start to happen, and another psychic friend, a very spiritual friend, very spiritual person, helped me to open up to this. And so, like, what they did for me is what I'm going to do for you is to urge you to trust what you're feeling and what you're receiving. I'm going to urge you to trust your feeling. And we're not talking about rage. Rage is a reactiveness. Rage is frustration. Feelings are happiness, sadness, bliss, attention, receiving, hints, messages, hunches, intuition. All of these things come from the feeling department. The feeling department is crucial to your development. It is crucial to your becoming the spiritual person that you want to become. With that in mind, we have another story, another allegorical story. This one has to do with feelings too, of course. It operates on a couple of levels. I'm just going to read it to you. I'll say a few things at the end of it. And if any of you chooses to take me up on my offer, then we can talk about anything that we've been talking about tonight. But here's our story. It is called A Very Little Lamb. Our little lamb was a creature so small that one had to stand on their knees to get a close glimpse of it. It hovered so near to the ground that oftentimes people came very close to trampling it. One day, while the lamb was grazing on some luscious grass, a man came by and nearly stepped on it. The lamb, we'll call him Oscar, spoke up just in time and shouted, "Watch out, please, sir, watch where you're going, as I am only a tiny creature and easy to miss." The man grumbled and went on his way. Soon after, a woman with a child came by, and the little boy noticed the lamb right away. "Look, Mommy, a lamb." "Yes, I see," said the mother, smiling as she spoke. "Can I pet him, Mommy?" "Of course you can," she answered. And the little boy proceeded to pet the lamb, who was now so pleased that someone had noticed him without nearly stepping on him. After a few minutes of petting and fussing over the lamb, the boy and his mother left. Later that day, the man from the morning came by again and appeared to notice the lamb this time, but he made a wide arc around where Oscar was grazing and carried on his way. Oscar was greatly relieved. "At least this time he did see me and he did not growl at me," he reflected, and then he returned to his grazing. Later in the afternoon, around dusk, Oscar's master came to collect him, as had been their usual routine. "And how was your day?" the master asked. "Well, it was very strange," the lamb responded. At first I wasn't sure that I was just being overlooked again, or if people really did not see me. How is that? The master asked. This afternoon a boy came by with his mother and petted me. He apparently noticed me right away, and so did his mother. Both appeared to be pleased to see me. Earlier, though, a man came by and nearly trampled me. When I yelled at him to watch out, he growled at me and went on his way. Later on, he came by again, but this time he made a wide arc around me and he did not growl. So, the second time around, the man saw you and avoided you altogether, the master repeated. Yes, it seems so, Oscar reflected. So what do you make of this, master? Well, Oscar, let me see. Some men, you know, are known to be very gruff and clumsy. Others can be more dainty and charming. And some, although not many, can be quite sensitive to the needs of all creatures, including small ones such as yourself. When a child comes by, that is, of course, different. They always see small creatures and run to them right away. That's true, Oscar responded. I have seen this time and again. But what is it with these gruff men? Were they not children once themselves? And would they not have noticed and ran toward a small creature such as myself at that time in their lives? That is a very interesting point, Oscar, the master replied. Let me see if I understand your question. What you are wondering is, what happens to little boys when they become men? That's right, Oscar answered. How can they be so dainty and playful at that time in their lives and then become so surly and grumpy later on? When I was young, the master began, I loved to play with other children and all manner of small creatures. Along the way in my life, I was exposed to other things, and for a time I forgot about my earlier interests. You did? The lamb repeated somewhat incredulously. Yes, I did, the master went on. One day while traveling toward a town some distance from here, I came upon a very odd creature that I had never seen before. What was it? Oscar asked excitedly. I am still not certain to this day, but I can describe it, the master continued. It had two heads, three tails, and a very large mane that covered nearly its entire body. Wow, Oscar exclaimed. I know, the master repeated, a very unusual creature indeed. And then as I stopped there and stared at it, a very strange thing happened. What was that? Oscar asked, totally engrossed now by his master's tale. The creature began to speak to me through both of its heads, and each conversation was different. One head gave a warning and said, "Watch where you are going," and the other head asked, "Are you looking for a route home?" What did you say? Oscar asked. I really didn't know what to say until I realized that they were both saying the same thing. Then I could answer. To the first head I said, "Prayers be with you." And to the second I said, "I'll be there soon." What did that mean? Oscar asked. It meant that I knew where I was going and that I would get there when I was ready. And the creature laughed and both heads said, "See you later." Wow, Oscar exclaimed again. I still don't know what you mean, though. Well, I believe I was to solve a riddle posed by the two heads. Both were inviting me to declare who I was. When I understood this, I understood the riddle and found my way back home again. Home, Oscar repeated. Yes, home, the master went on. The home where I know myself the best and where I can express all that I truly am. But where is that? Oscar asked, still not satisfied. Why, that's here with you and the rest of my flock. You see, I too was on my way to becoming a gruff old man when that two-headed creature confronted me with its challenge. But you figured out the riddle, didn't you, Master? Yes, I did, but only because I had one thing in my favor. I still believed in magic, and I liked to solve riddles. So this riddle was exactly what I needed to find my way home. So how does this relate to the gruff old man I saw today, asked Oscar Probe. I can only assume he has had no riddles presented to him thus far, the master answered, unless what you said to him this morning gave him something to think about. How's that? Oscar asked. Well, sometimes life delivers to us humans a number of riddles that we have to solve. Some of these are large and some are small, and some of these are more difficult than others. Give me an example, please, Oscar implored. A large riddle would be when someone close to you suddenly dies. And a small riddle might be what to do when a child starts to weep. Both of these riddles would have to be solved if the person affected is to have peace. And are these difficult to solve? Oscar wanted to know. Well, yes and no, the master answered. When a child is weeping, you may just have to give them some attention and say a few kind words. But when someone loses a loved one, you may be completely stuck for words. I'm not sure that I understand, Oscar exclaimed. People have feelings, the master stated emphatically, and feelings can be difficult to manage sometimes. Men in particular seem to have a difficult time with their feelings. Oftentimes they rant and they rave and they growl at their discomfort, but rarely do they express exactly what they feel. Like that man today, Oscar added. Yes, like that man you encountered today. He could have said, "Excuse me," or "Pardon me, little lamb," but no, he just growled with his discomfort. And when he later returned, he avoided you altogether, essentially avoiding his discomfort, rather than having to deal with it once more. Is discomfort a feeling? Oscar asked. It most certainly is, the master replied, and that is what so many men seem to have problems with. For them, discomfort, or any such feeling, is a riddle. And when they can't resolve it, they may then try to avoid it, or growl at it. Growl at it, Oscar jumped in. Exactly. In either case, they do not get to solve the riddle of their discomfort. So with a weeping child, that's not too difficult. They just give them some treats or growl and then walk away. But when someone dies, well then, the discomfort is usually so great that most men are at a loss as to what to do. What do they do then? Oscar asked, somewhat concerned. As I've been saying so far, the master went on, usually they just try to avoid it. That is, they most often try to deny or neglect their discomfort to such an extent that they become preoccupied with their avoidance strategy and miss out on a great deal of life as a result. How can they get past this? Oscar asked, hoping there had to be some way. Well, if they choose to, they can get some help with their discomfort, was the answer. What kind of help? Oscar asked. Oh, a friendly ear, perhaps. Someone to talk to, someone who will listen to the man's pain if he's willing to share it. Anywhere that there's a friendly hand ready to touch them if they reach out for it. You see, Oscar, most men do not really want to be that uncomfortable. They do want to talk about their hurts and their losses, but they don't know how. Many of them have been taught that talking about their discomfort is wrong and that people will look down on them as a result. Oh, that is sad, Oscar stated. I would not look down on them. I would surely listen. Yes, you would, Oscar, because you are such a kind soul, and you have so much to give, even as a little creature. Yes, the master went on, I do believe that you could help many men solve their riddles. The conversation went on like this for a time until Oscar grew tired and he knew he had to sleep. Tomorrow, he said to himself, I will try and help someone with their discomfort. The next day, Oscar was returned to his usual grazing spot just outside of the town, and his master went off to attend to the rest of the flock. The sheep had remained overnight in a valley that was just beyond some nearby hills. Shortly after Oscar was left alone, the man from the day before came by and once again nearly trampled him. But before he could, Oscar quickly shouted out a greeting that immediately caught the man's attention. Good morning, sir. How are you? He said cheerily. Startled, the man stopped and looked around until he saw Oscar at his feet. Oh, good day there, little lamb. I'm well, thank you. Why, I very nearly trampled you, didn't I? Oh, not to worry, said Oscar. I saw you coming, so I had plenty of time to advise you of my presence. Well, thank you for being so considerate, the man went on. I am not sure where my mind was, but I was obviously distracted. Oh, that's okay, Oscar replied. Sometimes we have riddles to ponder, and they can take up so much of our time and attention. Why, that's so true, the man repeated. Just the other day, I was telling my friend Alfred that life is filled with riddles and we must find our way through them. But first, we must ask for help. You see, some riddles are just too difficult to sort out on your own, so a friendly ear may be what you need at these times. Who is Alfred? Oscar asked. Oh, Alfred is my friend who just lost his wife. She was killed in an accident near their home. Alfred has not been the same since. I've tried to help him, but he's so hard to reach right now. Oh, listen to me telling you about my problems and keeping you from your grazing. This is no matter for a little lamb. I'll just be on my way now, and he turned to leave. Just a minute, Oscar exclaimed. Please don't go just yet, unless you are in a particular hurry. Well, not really, the man said hesitantly. I could stay a while longer. That's if you don't mind, of course. I so seldom get the chance to talk about my concerns. Mind? No, never. I love to talk, especially about riddles and such. You know about riddles, the man asked, now quite curious. Let me tell you about riddles, Oscar went on. Have you ever heard the story about the two-headed creature with three tails and a long furry mane that could speak out of both heads at once? The end. There's a story about possibly trampling on feelings, various ways of looking at feelings or dealing with feelings. And in some ways, when I think of this story, I think of the lamb as those feelings that are trying to get our attention, trying to speak out, shout out, and get us to notice. Other times, it's just a little play that allows a certain point to be made. Different ways that people can get distracted from dealing with their own feelings. As I said to you, and I will say many, many times, to get to your source, you got to go through your feelings. And along the way, we will be presenting various ways to do that. Is anybody going to phone me? We've only got a few minutes left. Is anybody going to phone? Let me tell you about next week's show. I'm going to have my first interview guest. Her name is Elena Hyatt Houlihan. I call her Houlihan. She is an artist, a world traveler, and she's the author of a new book, not quite finished, but soon, called An Unrealistic Life. And what is this book about? It's exactly about what we're talking about. People living from their passion. And what she has done, as well as living her own unrealistic life, is she's been traveling, interviewing people who are living what most mainstream folks would call an unrealistic life. You know, the artist's life, or the, you know, cut it out of the air and fashion your own destiny and path, as opposed to slipping into some predefined path, like being, you know, being on a team in an office or being part of some sales organization. These are all people who have carved their own niche in the world, and most assuredly they are expressing what's coming from their source, because without that, you know, without that strong urge, they would be in a factory or in an office building like so many of us have been over the years. So that's going to be our guest next week, and we will give you her website address at that time, so that you can see some of her art, some of her amazing pieces of sculpture, and some of her photographs from the Far East. Amazing stuff to look at. So that's going to be our friend Elena Hyatt Houlihan. That'll be next week. I'd like to remind you that we have a store at rockmysoulradio.com. That's my website. The material I've been reading to you from, this story about the little lamb, is the first story in my grief book. It's called Parables on Grief and Loss, and it's filled with stories like that that address a certain aspect of loss or grief, pain and suffering, and how the characters, whether they're angels or people or whatever, how they resolve these things and how they get the help they need. When we're going through grief, it's an opportunity. It's not one we welcome, most assuredly. But that's an opportunity to really get in touch with feelings, because feelings are pretty raw at that time. And if we work through them successfully and we get help and we lean on people, a lot of healing will occur as a result of that. And we'll have mastered something. It looks like I'm being beeped, and the show is going to end. So thank you for joining me this week. This is Maurice Termel, host of Rock My Soul Radio, helping you connect with your source.